Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Brenton.
I've entitled today's message, From Silence to Celebration. And part of that is probably influenced by me going to the Vikings game last weekend. Yeah, you're going to have to hear me talk about football. Just indulge me for a moment. I went to the Vikings game last weekend, and it was my first game in 10 years. So I hadn't been to a game in a long time. We left at 3 a.m. on Sunday so that my daughter could sleep on the ride, as Valerie and my daughter were coming as well, not to the game, but along to Minneapolis, and we get there, and it's 12 o'clock, and I'm still pumped, man. I'm amped, even though I woke up at 2:30, because this is it, the Vikings game. I'm finally here. You can tell I'm a fan. And it starts, and it's like, okay, yeah, it's a close game. Not much is happening. We'll see what happens. And all of a sudden, it starts going more and more and more and more downhill until it's looking very bleak. I looked up the statistical probability, and at its worst, the Vikings had a 9% chance to win. It was not looking good. And so I was in this stadium, and it was 70,000 fans, and we were all very quiet. The person behind me was someone who had gone to a lot of games, and they were saying, "Man, I don't know if I've ever heard it this quiet." And I'm just so cheesed off, like, first game in 10 years, and this is the game? Like, there's not even anything to celebrate about. The family beside me leaves. It's like, should I leave? No, I came too far. You know, if this was a game, if I was watching it on TV, the TV would be off and I would nap, but I paid too much, so I'm gonna stay. And all of a sudden, just like that, the comeback is on and the Vikings won by 1 point. Yeah, thanks for the applause. Thanks, no. You don't have to clap for that. That's okay. And honestly, during the whole thing, I can't tell you that, man, I had so much hope and faith that they were coming back. My friend has told me, for a pastor, you lack a lot of faith when it comes to the Vikings. That kind of made me say, whoa, do I? Am I just a realist, or do I lack faith? And ultimately, if we look at the biblical definition of faith in Hebrews, this is what it says. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for. So I was hoping for the Vikings to win, but I didn't have faith because I didn't have confidence that they would come back. And the assurance about what we don't see. I didn't have any assurance that they would come back. And ultimately, maybe it's realistic. I call myself a realist, right? But because the reality is I had no guarantee that the Vikings were going to come back. None of you gave me a prophetic word that they're going to come back and win the game or anything like that. And this is where, you know, I'm okay with being a pessimistic fan in the Vikings. And I actually want to release you. If you're a Leafs fan here this morning, give up hope. Have faith that they'll lose. They're so good at it. They always come through. I just want to release you from that disappointment. But when it comes to the things of God, our hope and faith is not like we're cheering for a sports team to win. God has given us promises right from the get-go of Abraham. God, look what it says in Hebrews 6. It says, when God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater to swear by, he swore by himself. He's like, I'm swearing on me because there's nothing greater. Saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently. Whew. Those are hard words, right? How many of you enjoy waiting patiently? That's tough, right? This was tough for Abraham. Those are loaded words. After waiting patiently, and Abraham didn't do that at first successfully. Abraham received what was promised. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said by the one who puts an end to all agreement. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. Isn't that cool? God wanted you to be confident in his promises. Not like, are you coming through? Let's just hope. Let's cross our fingers and see what happens. He wanted you to be confident. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. So we who find ourselves in God, God wants to encourage us. He doesn't want us to have a football, let's see what happens kind of faith. He wants us to be encouraged and sure. Verse 19, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Isn't that amazing? God has provided you with an anchor for your soul. How many of you need an anchor for your soul? I do. There's winds out there. There's waves. Life is hard. And in these moments, what is going to anchor us and keep us solid where we can say, I trust. I have faith and confidence. God has said, trust me to come through for you. I have these promises that I've made. And so I will allow you to be a pessimistic sports fan. I don't really care if you're optimist or pessimist about your sports team, but we can't be Christians that lack faith. Our faith in God is rooted in his promises. Rooted, we read from Genesis to Revelation that he's faithful to his word, and there's still promises we're waiting on, but we've seen him come through throughout the generations. I've seen him come through him in my life, so I can be firm that he's gonna come through for me, no matter my situation or what life looks like. Look at it, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 20. It says, for as many are the promises of God in Christ, they are all answered. Yes, we need a bit more conviction here this morning. They are all answered. Yes, yes. Not maybe. Yes, a resounding yes. He did it. He saved us in Christ. There, yes. So through him, we say our amen. Let it be to the glory of God. I love Romans 15, 13. It just goes to show the type of hope that God wants us to have. May the God of hope fill you. This is not our hope, right? This is not us conjuring up, maybe this will work. This is the God of hope filling you with all joy and peace. How many of you want all joy and peace? Woo! In believing through the experience of your faith. So your faith is gonna be this conduit that God is going to flood you with joy and peace, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, not your own power, his power, you will abound in hope and overflow with confidence in his promises. Isn't that cool? That's God's will for you. But I think all of us can probably relate to, man, there's some points in life where the winds are blowing, the waves are high, and I lack confidence in his promises. My faith maybe gets weakened to where I start asking questions. God, are you gonna come through? Can I trust you? Are you working things out? And I think if we look at the context of the first Christmas, there were so many things that I think before the people of God that were probably giving them a lot of hardship to hope that God was gonna come through for them. Malachi was the last prophet of God that prophesied some of the promises of God to come. And that was 400 years ago. So we, as we turn our page in our Bible from Malachi to Matthew, it's like, all right, this is Jesus, great, he's coming. There's some space in between there, 400 years of silence. As different world powers came forth, and eventually there's Roman occupation, there's religious corruption, and so in the silence, it looked like there wasn't hope. If you looked at the statistical probability that God was gonna come through, I don't know if anyone was saying, oh, here it is. There was some, because they were confident in the promises of God for them. But this was the context of the first Christmas. And we're gonna read a lot in Luke 1. So if you have your Bibles or your iPhones, let's turn to Luke 1. It's the longest chapter in the New Testament, I believe. So we won't read it all, but we're gonna try. So Luke 1 verse 5, in the time of Herod, king of Judah, There was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. I tried to learn that. It didn't work. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Really cool. You have this couple here named Zechariah and Elizabeth. If you look at the Hebrew name of their meaning of their words, it means that Christ remembers his oath. If you combine Zechariah and Elizabeth, it's so cool. Both of them are righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. So this couple is serving the Lord. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as a priest before God. He was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. So this would have been a great privilege for Zechariah. He probably actually only would have gotten this opportunity maybe once or twice in his lifetime. So this is a big day for him. And when the time came for the burning of incense, all assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard." That's amazing. What a beautiful thing to hear. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John, which means God is gracious. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. This is the angel quoting Malachi here. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of their parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So right here, in this moment, 400 years of prophetic silence is broken. And this is when, like, the celebration can ensue, right? This is when I think it's time to party. But yet, Zechariah struggles with unbelief. And he asks the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." He's been praying the same prayer for years and years and years. You can just understand he has unbelief in grasping, how could this actually all happen? And he's asking for another sign. And the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering what was taking so long. When he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. Then they realized from his gestures and silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Soon afterwards, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. So Zechariah, this moment of the breaking of silence is met by unbelief and a lack of faith. And because of it, God punishes him with 9 months of silence. Whew. How many of you play the silent game? I last 15 minutes. That's about, you can ask my wife, I talk. And I wonder, this was a punishment for Zechariah, but I'm guessing that this was actually a blessing for him. It was a good lesson for him to learn. It was probably a blessing to his household and Elizabeth, right? Amen. I mean, they conceived after this, so maybe it helps in the love life. I don't know. Say less. That's just some free advice there. But it's interesting because this covenant all started with Abraham. Abraham was promised to have a kid in his old age. And what Abraham did, saw the statistical probability saying, this is not going to work. He slept with someone else and created sin. And it's almost as if God says now, no, be quiet and watch me work this out. Watch me work out my plan before you. And I think in our own lives, there's some areas in life that are just outside of our control, and we need to trust God and watch him work. We can't save ourselves, and we can't just live a life of faith without trusting in him. If you look at God's people, they struggled with trusting God. In Exodus 14, where God is doing miraculous miracles to set the Israelites free into the promised land, miracle after miracle after miracle, and they get to the Red Sea, and then they see the Israelites coming, and they start saying to Moses, there weren't graves in Egypt, and we came here to die? Was this all a sick plan? But Moses said to the people, don't fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will perform for you today. For the Egyptians who you've seen today, you will never see them again. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Isn't that awesome? Watch God work. And it's almost as if Zechariah is forced to be silent and watch him work. It was like if I was silenced in that Vikings game. It was like, I don't believe. And I just had to watch God work out his plan. And I think we can learn from this. I think there's times where God wants us to be still and know he's God. That's what David said. I think that's such beautiful encouragement. Be still. Know he's God. If it's hard out there and you're struggling in your faith and you're doubting with unbelief, be still and know he's God. How many of you remember a Be Still tape from one of the volunteer appreciation suppers? John, do you remember the Be Still tape? No? Okay, good. But I'm bringing it back up. Maybe I shouldn't then. We had a volunteer appreciation supper, and we like to have fun, okay? Just context. We did a thing called the Lion's Den, which was a spoof on Dragon's Den, where you bring ideas. And what we were doing is we would bring ideas to the church that we would never even consider implementing. They were supposed to be really funny. And don't sue us, because we're not going to do this. But one of the ideas was we were going to integrate this in Grow Kids Ministry, where it's Be Still tape, where our kids have struggled to be still and know he's God. We just place some tape over their mouths, and it would encourage them to be still and know he's God. Again, these are horrible ideas for comedic value. We will never do this. But I wonder if sometimes God is just wanting us to be still and know he's God, to rest in his promises. Our God wants us to be greatly encouraged that he's got us in the palm of his hand. And he was wanting to teach Israel this all throughout the covenant, that he's faithful to his word. He's not going to go back on his word. He made an oath and he made a promise. In Isaiah 30, we see Israel struggling to trust God. And it says this, this is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says, only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence, or you could replace that word with trust. In quietness and trust is your strength. God wanted Israel to rest, that God had them. But Israel kept taking things into their own hands, looking for their own answers for salvation, and God wanted to bring them to this place of trust. And then God says, but you would have none of it. Shoot, right? Verse 18, it says, so the Lord must wait for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. That's what the Lord wants to do. In the face of doubt, in the face of uncertainty, he wants to show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help. And this waiting isn't like just a waiting couch potato faith. It's having this hope and faith that God is who he says he is. He'll do what he said he's done. And whatever I see, I know my God's got me. Amen? God wants you to have that type of faith so you can enter into the plan of salvation, because that's how he drew it up, that we're part of this. And we're going to move to 6 months later, fast forward here in the story. And 6 months later, there's another miraculous birth announced, and this is Jesus. meaning Yahweh saves. This is not like John the Baptist, where it's miraculous because it's a birth at old age. This is God coming to earth, joining in and infusing with God-man in Jesus Christ. And so let's read in verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. This is just a no-name town. They would say at the time, nothing good can come from Nazareth. A town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. For a bit of context, Mary was probably 14, 15, somewhere in there. Mary was... the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." This is the fulfillment of all of the prophecies of Jesus. This is it. Mary as well asked a question. Remember, Zechariah asked a question, but it was actually a question of doubt. But Mary asked this question, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" So Mary is not asking this out of doubt. She's more asking, how is this going to happen? Because no birth like this had ever happened before or will ever happen again. And the angel answers her, "The Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her own age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is right now in her sixth month. For no word from the Lord God will ever fail." And look at the response of Mary. "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." The faith of Mary is unbelievable. This is the faith of probably a 15-year-old girl. And she says, you know, I would have had some more questions, right? What do I tell my fiance? How is this all gonna work? What are people gonna think of me? There's some more questions. But Mary is certain in the words of the angel given to her that if this is the plan of God, she's willing to be a servant, to be a part of it. And this announcement is now met not with unbelief, but with faith. And because of that, Mary is blessed. She goes to visit Elizabeth, and in verse 45, it says, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." When we believe in the promises of God, that they're going to be fulfilled to us, we're in this place of blessing. And then I also think we're in this place of celebration. You know, we can celebrate. Even though God's still working on his plan, we can join in with celebration. And this is what Mary does. She sings this song where she says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers in their thrones, but has lifted high the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised to our ancestors." And if you look at this song, it's rich in references to the Old Testament. You could tell Mary's a woman of the word. Mary was a woman of expectant faith. Mary saw the faithfulness of God throughout generations. Mary knew the promises of God. And so when she was met with the angel's plan and that she would be a part of it, she said, "I'm your servant. May your word be fulfilled." Because she knew God's faithful to his promises. God comes through. And because of that, her and Elizabeth are able to join in with the celebration. Well, Zechariah, his mouth is still closed during all this time. And 9 months, Zechariah is forced to watch. And he's watching Elizabeth become pregnant, his wife, and John grow in her womb. Then as Mary visits, he sees Jesus grow in Mary's womb. And look at the first thing that comes out of his mouth. Luke 1:64, it says, "At once his mouth was open and his tongue freed, and he began speaking in praise of God." Amen. So cool. This is a man of unbelief, and he was disciplined, but during these 9 months, faith was forming in him as he was forced to be still and see the plan and salvation of God. That even though what he was hearing was impossible, God is a God of the impossible. It doesn't matter what you think the statistic probability is of God saving Israel and mankind, God will come through and be faithful to his promises. The Word biblical commentary puts it this way, and I loved it. A chastised and transformed Zechariah is now emulating Mary's faith. Isn't that cool? God gave him this time of silence, I think, as a discipline, but also a gift to learn to trust God. Be silent and watch me work this out. And then Zechariah sings his own song. "Praise be to the Lord God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up the horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he said through the holy prophets long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham." Again, I just want to remind you, the name of Zechariah and Elizabeth means God remembers his oath. God is faithful. And I just want to close today with just asking, what's our response to all of this in 2024? Right here, this Christmas. I think all of us can probably say that we live in this world where our faith is tested. We live in this world where sometimes God maybe seems silent, or sometimes maybe we have doubts. God, can I trust you? Are you coming through? And our faith cup should be overflowing. Our hope cup should be overflowing. But maybe all of a sudden we have the faith like we're cheering for a football team to maybe come back. Maybe there's a shot. If this is where your faith is at today, I just really encourage you with these words that no word from God will ever fail. And God wants you to be a person full of faith. And he asks you to find refuge in him. He wants to show you love and compassion and kindness, but you have to come to him. And I just encourage you, if you're struggling in your life, to say, God, are you gonna come through? Can I trust you? There's these things that I'm hoping for and praying for. And it's hard to believe right now. Be still and know he's God. Be still and know he's God. Be silent and rest that you're putting your faith not in some athletes, you're putting your faith in the creator of the universe. The one who spoke and the world came into existence. And the one who wants you to be confident in his promises. He doesn't want you to be unsure. He wants you to be a person of faith, but faith is only found in the presence of God as you make him your refuge and answer. I'm gonna ask you to close your eyes, and I just wanna pray Romans 15:13 over you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will abound in hope and overflow with confidence in his promises. God, we can all admit that sometimes our faith seems weak. But God, just as you are merciful to make Zechariah silent as you unfolded your glorious plan of salvation right before his eyes. God, I thank you that if our faith is weak, you invite us to take refuge in you and learn to be silent and watch you work things out in our life, because you are faithful. You have been faithful, you will be faithful, and you are faithful. And God, I thank you that you want to give us this faith where we overflow with hope. God, I think about the faith of Mary that said, I am your servant. Despite all the things Mary had to walk through, it wasn't an easy life she had. There was bumps and challenges and she had to flee and all of these things, but she said, God, I have faith and I want to be part of this plan of your salvation. And God, I thank you that each and every one of us today, you want us to be part of your plan of redemption to this world. You chose Mary to carry Jesus physically in her womb, an honor that no one else will ever get. But you chose all of us and blessed us with this mystery that Christ is in us, the hope of glory. You put your spirit inside of us, God. You made a way through sending your son and living a perfect life, dying for our sin so that we can become a temple of your presence. And now Christ lives in us, a mystery from generations. He's inside of us and is the hope of glory. God, I thank you that we get to be part of your redemption plan for the world. And may you be formed inside of us. And may we have faith like Mary to celebrate that you're faithful. Maybe faith like Zechariah, that even though we doubted at a time, we were silent enough to see, we can trust you. And God, thank you that we can join in your plan of redemption for this world. God, thank you for the confidence and joy and hope we can have this Christmas in a world that's filled with darkness and evil. In a world where the winds are high and there's waves and there's bumps, God, thank you for this anchor for our soul, that your promises are yes and amen through Jesus Christ. We praise you and love you. Amen. Let's stand and worship.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.